Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for listening, and do please help me spread the word about this show. I would greatly appreciate if you would tell others to listen in as well, whether they're Catholic or not, and whether they're into sports or not. Hopefully you've been listening long enough to know that there are really impactful stories and powerful lessons coming out of the conversations on this show every week that very well just might be the help, the encouragement that someone needs to hear. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, where you will find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I love hearing from listeners, so please feel free to get in touch through any of those platforms. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. A young athlete might go off to a soccer camp, or maybe a parent will enroll their baseball-playing son in a pitching program, or perhaps you know of a girl or boy who went away to a basketball camp that was, say, a week long. From my time in the sport, I know there are clinics that lacrosse players can go off to. Certainly, the investment in activities like these is done with the hope of seeing some return in the form of significant learning and improved play. Faith-wise, there is a parallel, too. To pull some of what's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Friends, just like the quest for improved skills and tactics towards more success in athletics, we must continue to pursue wisdom and knowledge from Jesus so that we can improve in our quest for the reward of spending eternity with our Father in heaven. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played 2 years for the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars and also spent time in the Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts organizations. In addition, he played many years in the Canadian Football League and was a two-time Grey Cup champion as a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who won the league title game in both 2007 and 2013. In 2009, he earned the CFL's Most Outstanding Defensive Player Award, and in 2013, he led the league in sacks. He would also play in the CFL for the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Edmonton Eskimos. As a student athlete, he had played college football at Utah State. Nowadays, he is all about helping men become on fire, fit, and free. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Chick.
Yes, thanks, Bruce. Great introduction. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. Thanks for being here. I mentioned that you played 2 years for the Jaguars, and even though that was 10 years ago, you still today call Jacksonville home, which is a long way from where you were born. Share with the audience about where you did grow up and the household that you were raised in.
Yes. I grew up in Gillette, Wyoming, and, you know, very transient community, coal, methane, gas, oil, industrial type work. And my dad did none of that, but he met my mom out there and fell in love and raised us in a very devout Catholic home. And again, that didn't mean we were perfect or we didn't have our rough edges, but we were at church every Sunday, and I grew up many powerful experiences in the faith. My dad was a youth minister, music minister, did funerals. We were serving soup kitchen, you know, every month. So just by being around that, had so many powerful experiences of faith, of the Holy Spirit, and is with that dynamic of youth ministry and playing sports, it didn't matter which town I'd go to, someone knew my dad through youth ministry and had that support. So it was kind of a built-in accountability.
And what was your family size? How many siblings did you have?
I had two siblings, so three of us. My mom didn't carry well. She had several miscarriages. So I've got a bunch of brothers and sisters up there, upstairs. But a very, very tight-knit, close family. So I am the black sheep because I live out here in Jacksonville now. They kind of all go back west. And as you alluded to, we ended up out here, you know, when I ended up here for the Jaguars, our kids were then school aged. And, you know, we found that church community, that school community. And it just, at that point, it was like, hey, we need a base. Yeah. And this became it.
Fantastic.
10 years later.
Fantastic. And speaking of your younger years, there was a medical challenge thrown at you when you were young. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, I was kind of that, the oldest brother, right? And so I had these dreams, visions, and all this kind of stuff. And I had kind of started having some brittle things, you know, broken bones. And finally, at age 14, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And, you know, my mother had two brothers with the condition who were not in good health. And, you know, I think it just kind of hit everyone hard as here's what we know about diabetes and here's all the dreams and visions that John has and me personally, what I had. And all of a sudden, a huge crash storm of, oh, wow, this is real. You know, can you still do all this and that? And fortunately, I just had, you know, great doctors, great people come and visit, and just was raised in that home that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Wow.
Came out of the hospital 3 days later with still the same conviction resolve. I didn't know how, but I believed it. It was fortunate to have that, you know, conviction from childhood. I didn't always know the faith. I didn't have the apologetics. You know, I had a CCD background, those kind of things. But I had conviction, and so came out with that fire. Didn't even without challenges. You know, there was a huge learning curve of a 14-year-old who's already going through all kinds of changes. And I didn't have the great rebellion, you know, that many do, but it was a lifestyle change, a diet change, and trying to figure out what works for an athlete who was, you know, I was a 4-season athlete. And so it was a challenge, a great challenge for a couple of years, but it was also an answer to a prayer of, there was a period of time before we found out that I was sick that I was not well. I was tired all the time. I mean, a late night guy, I was going to bed at 9 o'clock because I was just dead beat.
Wow.
Couldn't put on weight, and I was doing all this work. And so it was also answer to prayers.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. Let's lighten things up for just a moment. I'm tempted to ask, when did you first start playing football? But I'm thinking you might say that you played other sports too, maybe. What did all that look like in terms of what you competed in and at what age or ages?
Yeah, I competed in, you know, everything as far as I knew. You know, soccer was probably the first introductory sport in T-ball. And then, man, third grade, I'm playing tackle football from that point on. I still played baseball every year. I played basketball every year. My last year had, you know, near knee thing with football. And knew that I was going to play college at football, so I threw shot put and discus my senior year instead of playing basketball just to protect my knees. And, you know, I love playing basketball just as much as anything. It's probably my favorite lifetime sport. But, yeah, it was very athletic. But, yeah, I loved the pursuit of greatness in football. It is putting a plan together, how you could train and sculpt the body and prepare it for what you were going to do on the field, so much visualization, but also learning the plays and the mechanics of, you know, that the Joe has to know, you know, to make the X's and O's work.
Well, on that note, I'm curious because even though you didn't end up getting drafted into the NFL, you attended training camp with the Houston Texans as an undrafted free agent. I've got to believe that when you were playing football at Utah State, you were all about getting to the NFL. Was that the case in your whole life, was about football? And along with that, what did your faith life look like during that time that you were a college athlete?
Yes, I always had that desire and belief. So, yeah, and I would probably say it was maybe a disordered desire, you know, is what I would refer to as, or maybe not rightly, it never took the place of God or my relationship. My experience in college was, that was what I knew. I wasn't a perfect Catholic. I had my sin, my vice, as a lot of college athletes, but at the same rate, I went to school at Utah State University. And I was approached on a regular basis by fresh missionaries who were on fire with their faith, who are coming off a mission at 22 years old, 23 years old. And what I found out is I knew my faith. I had this conviction, but I wasn't great at apologetics. I couldn't give the answer. And so regardless of what my week looked like, and I was a pretty good kid, so, you know, I don't want to give any false ideas. I was pretty good, but, you know, I probably drank too much at times, and, you know, with certain grounds or whatever. And most part, I tried to stay clear, focus on my school, okay, and being great at football.
Okay.
I wanted to start as a freshman. And so I was at church. There was only a Newman Center at the time that at max could hold 300 people. And that's where I was every Sunday. And I found early on that I wanted to know how to defend my faith.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's fast forward a little bit here. From 2006 to 2011, you went from the Houston Texans to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to the Indianapolis Colts, and then finally the Jacksonville Jaguars. What does that do to an athlete emotionally, psychologically, spiritually? Is it frustrating not having one long run with one team, or is it a testimony to perseverance, hard work, not giving up? Walk us through those years that I'm referring to, which, by the way, culminated with John finally suiting up for his first NFL game, which, by the way, would be 11 games that he played in that season. But, John, please.
Yes, all of the above, what you said. There are definitely a lot of frustrations, but mostly perseverance, you know, the testament of faith. You know, I get to Houston Texans, and you just find out, you know, all your innocence is stripped of, you know, what you think, you know, just because I can outperform, outwork someone doesn't necessarily mean that, hey, when they're invested $40 million in one player and X, and you signed for $7,000, it didn't matter that you were the only guy with a sack by the time you got cut. That's wow. Just what it was. And so you had some of those frustrations and learning. At that time, I also was married with my first child. You know, most older classmen are barely having children at that point. So I was definitely culturally different from many standpoints, but it was also exactly what you said. It was, that's what I knew was, hey, my wife, my child, it is my world right now. Whatever it is, I love football. And if this is a way, so yeah, I got cut from there. We ended up living almost 6 months with my folks in Wyoming. My wife's working to support me continuing to chase this dream of football. And had probably known nothing of CFL at that point. I'd almost signed with the LA Avengers, Arena One team at the time. And I got a call from Saskatchewan Rough Riders and said, hey, this is just like college ball without class. And I was like, that sounds like the best of both worlds. So I went up there, played three seasons. We won a Grey Cup my first, and that was just that pinnacle moment of every time you get knocked down, I can see in my story going back, every time I got knocked down, it was God blessed it more abundantly than you could imagine. Minus the money, all that kind of stuff. It's the experience and the joy that has been part of our life. And so up to, you know, played there 3 years at that point. Could have made a lifetime of it. Had an opportunity to sign with the NFL. And you know that football is a short career.
Yeah.
So I had to take that jump. Went to the Indianapolis Colts. I was going to be that third pass rusher with Sreeni Mathis. And had a great experience, learned a lot, and then they ended up drafting a first-round pick, defensive end. And I kind of said, well, I'd seen this story before. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, they did keep me there on the practice roster, wanted to keep me there the second year. And at that point, I called the Jaguars, who had wanted, you know, had asked me to sign with them the year before. And I ate some humble pie and said, hey, you know what? This isn't what I thought here. I'll sign to your practice roster. I believe I can come make your team. And I went back and forth, and they brought me down there. My wife is now pregnant with number four in Indianapolis. And I come here, sign to the practice roster. Day one of practice, they call me in, say, keep doing what you're doing. Just you know, tooting my horn a little bit, went out again, had a great practice, and next day they called me in the office saying, hey, you're dressing for week one.
Wow. Wow.
Like, holy cow.
You fantastic.
Know, quite a turn of events. So it was awesome.
Fantastic. Wow.
Wonderful time here with the Jaguars. Unfortunately, mid-season or week 10 or 11, like you said, of 2011, I ruptured my patella tendon on a Monday night game. Mm. And then it was another year of, wow, this is challenge and rough. And Lord, what are you telling us? And I would also turn 30 that year. So you could see a lot of the things, the writing on the wall, knowing what you know, I know of football and having been around a long time at that point, mm-hmm. that my contract was going to expire at the end of 2012. Mm. I had turned 30, and they had just fired their coach. And so, you know, just kind of preparing for that next journey, tried to give it a little bit of time. You know, hindsight, could have maybe given more time, but I had a team that we were in love with, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who were not, they were hosting the Grey Cup that year, and believe they had a good run, had a good relationship with them, and they said, why don't you come back up here? And my wife and I think, you know, we loved our experience with the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's not family oriented. It's not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't do it, and we did it. But we looked at each other, and there wasn't much hesitation in us to want to go back mm-hmm. and play, you know, a game we loved in a community that loved us and treated us well, but that we were part of, you know, yeah. our faith community there and relationships we had built. And so
nice.
That was those years.
Nice. Nice. Well, folks, wait until you hear not only about the work that John is doing with Become Iron Willed, but wow, the work that he's doing as a father. Oh my gosh. You're going to wonder where he possibly has time to be on the line today talking with me. But first, let me again thank everyone who's listening to the show, telling others about it, helping me grow this ministry. It really is just a one-man operation here. Yours truly doing all the recording, editing, booking of the guests, preparing each episode, taking care of the website, social media, handling all the administrative tasks. It really adds up to quite a bit of time, but it's something that I know God truly called me to do, and my aim is to move more people closer to Him in their faith walk because of what you hear on Catholic Sports Radio. Even though it appears to just be a 30 or so minute show that just comes out once a week, there are definitely costs that go into running what I have told you is by all means a ministry for me. However, since I don't get any income for doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, I have to somehow try to find a way to cover those expenses out of my own pocket, which admittedly does get challenging. I'm fortunate to get guests and listeners who contribute, and I ask that you consider doing so as well. The other reason to take that action is because when someone contributes to this ministry, it also tells me that you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you recognize and appreciate the work that I'm doing, and you want to see it continue and help people in their faith life. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have specifically detailed over a number of episodes of this show. And by the way, instead of doing it online electronically through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with the details on where you can send a check. And as you heard me do on last week's episode, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes to this ministry, or as some have chosen to do, you can remain anonymous. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. John, before all that, the conversation was about 5 or 6 years of what was a much longer football career. You mentioned one, but you did have some near career-ending injuries. Talk about facing those challenges.
Yes. You know, my second year in Saskatchewan had a season filled of injury, minor compared to my major injuries, but a MCL, a separated shoulder, a a compound fracture in the finger, made for a long season. And those those down times were my best times of faith. It really,
wow.
In 2008, I think of, I found Jeff Cavan's Bible timeline, and it was that began a lifetime journey of getting to know Jesus in the scripture, getting to know the Word of God, and really leaning on my faith. And so from that point on, it was like every year, my wife and I, we loved it so much. The experience was so powerful. We started that with teammates, Catholic or not, as a way to get together and host and study the Word of God, and just the way that broke down. So that is something that stayed regular for us for the rest of that career. 2009, again, off of that injury, came out and had my most outstanding defensive player year, and then ended up in the NFL. And, again, ruptured that patella tendon, and it was a challenge in so many ways. One is, you know, you just got to where you knew you could get to, and then this happens, and there's a lot of downtime and frustrated and why and all those things. But it's, you know, you don't got to read very far when you're in your Word to understand it's always a resurrection. You know, that we go through the cross for those resurrected moments, and he just had better plans, bigger plans. And it's not always what we think of when we equate success and money and fame and all those kind of things, but the opportunities in my life to serve and impact were so much greater because of the crosses I've been able to bear with diabetes and injury. You know, after that surgery, that is, you know, you're locked up for, 3 months? I don't know. And then you're spending the next 3 months just trying to get another millimeter of range of motion back every day. And then you got to, you know, you finally get there, and then you're trying to relearn how to walk and build strength and all of that stuff to hopefully get back to the field when you had many tell you that this injury is often a career-ending injury.
Wow.
And so you have those thoughts in your head, too, that, hey, you know, I got to work double time because this isn't over yet. And fortunately, we kept pursuing. I did return to the field a year later in Jacksonville, and I was not re-signed, and then did. I took that opportunity to go play in the Canadian Football League. After not getting re-signed, things going down, and won another Grey Cup. And it just, those are irreplaceable experiences, not just for the win, the vainglory, but the path to doing that and the impact you get to make on a community and the service opportunities. Just so much good came from that and from those experiences. And for our family, I've got 3 Canadian-borns, I think. I would count myself.
Well, but I want to interrupt you for a minute, because the coolest part of that whole story is when you started off by saying that it was when you were suffering from an injury that you decided to dive into the Word. And so many people would think the exact opposite, that an athlete would be angry with God and that the last thing they'd want to do is grow closer in their faith. And so you rallied around it and said, okay, yes, I have a lot of rehab to do, but if I'm going to be sitting around not playing football, I might as well immerse myself in my faith. So there's powerful testimony in that, because I know that the overwhelming majority of people would say, oh, I bet you he just probably got really angry and, you know, hung his head, and you did the opposite. By the way, in the first half of the show, you told us about your diabetes since the age of 14. There have been other struggles too, though, that you had to overcome and still have to overcome.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it's not been cured yet. And so it is a daily, weekly, monthly cross that you bear. It's 24/7 condition. And especially in extreme training and disciplines, there's a lot that helps that. But it's also, you got fluctuations in day-to-day, how you prepare. Every day is not the same for an athlete. It's all preparation, and you got recovery, and then you go all out, and then it's another recovery day. And so it's always changing. And there were a lot of struggles. Nothing that ever took me out of play. Didn't miss it down. Now, I might not have been fully coherent at times while I was out there, but hey, I knew how to hit heads, you know? So, yeah, I always considered it my, you know, when I used to do a lot more speaking, One thing I can't answer, and I'm pretty certain I know the answer, is would I have had all of those accomplishments, achievements, all those things without the cross that I have? Mm-hmm. And I don't think so, because I lived, you know, I loved it, I wanted, I believed in it, but I lacked a certain discipline that diabetes forced upon in my life. Mm. And, you know, when you read St. Paul, he says, three times I begged the Lord about this thorn in his side, but he would not. He says, my grace is made sufficient in your weakness. And it's just, that's how I've always seen it, is I don't think I would have had those things had I not had that thing to overcome, because it made me depend all the more on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, folks, you know, this is a great victory story that John is sharing with us, but like so many of us, John, you too have had to endure some spiritual warfare. What can you share with us in that regard?
Well, I'll relate it directly to diabetes. I was raised in my Catholic faith. I knew angels and demons and all these things. I knew about the saints. I didn't necessarily have a personal devotion. We said our rosaries and things like that, but it wasn't like this because I didn't have experience with demonic. I had some experiences with the Holy Spirit young, and so I knew that side of it. Well, with diabetes, low blood sugar can affect you. Things start shutting down. Sometimes you might start losing taste. Parts of your body go numb. Mm. And if you can imagine, you know, you've seen it in the movies or whatever, the blind guy, well, he's got all these other heightened senses. Well, maybe anywhere from 3 to 10 times a year, depending on the year and all that kind of stuff, those experiences from 14 and on were sometimes heightened intellectual experiences or sometimes heightened spiritual experiences. Mm-hmm. And they were very illuminative and very awesome experiences at those times. Now, not necessarily for everyone around me, you know, it was an experience with me, but they were real. And it always reminded me of the sacraments, right? They are physical signs of spiritual reality. I believe no different about diabetes or any of our crosses. We live in a society that wants to explain everything away by this almighty God science, and we give no trueness or realness to spirituality, mm. like it doesn't exist, like it was something back then. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that. I believe that it was absolutely that. Well, in the last 4 years of my playing career, in the first year of retirement, those 3 to 10 experiences a year turned demonic. Mm. And it was scary. I was in true spiritual warfare. Wow. I probably had my fair walk in sin, but was around it all the time too. So how? I don't know. What I do know is the experience was real. It was hell for 5 years of my life. And I would end up, most of those occasions, I would end up in tears, crying on all fours, you know, Our Fathers, Hail Marys, Lord, take, you know, remove this from me. Those kind of things. And my wife would help me get my blood sugar back up, and eventually I would get back to a normal state. And the things that happened in those, I would explain to her, and it's like, it's not like what wasn't what she was seeing or hearing or any of those kind of things. And so it was scary. I started seeing doctors, started seeing priests. I wasn't getting any answers. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, less sweets or this, that, always just a physical answer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I was still in Saskatchewan, I had started a company called JC CrossFit at the time. You know, that my name is John Chick, so little name recognition, but it was always about the big guy, JC. And I always believed in mind, body, and spirit, that it's all one. We are not divided. Jesus Christ is 100% man, 100% God. We are created in his image and likeness. We are all in all. We are not divided. When we are divided, and again, a lot of this theology comes from JP2, theology of the body stuff. We are not divided. And as soon as we are dead. And so I was going through this warfare and no one to provide answers. Mm. And so I started doing a lot of my own research into the saints, what they did. And I kept coming across prayer and fasting. Mm. And all I'd ever done is wimpy Catholic fast. You know, you're told as an athlete, you can't fast. You got to put on weight. You got to do this and that. And I kept finding from athletes powerful things about fasting. Mm. And so I prepared and did my first 32-hour fast. About 2 days later, I had one of those experiences. My sugar was low. I was in a spiritual warfare, demonic, crying for my life, crying for to be saved, worrying about your own salvation, you know? And as I'm coming to, I felt the presence that was in me leave me, and at the exact same time, confirmation that what had been in me those last 5 years was gone and gone for good.
Wow.
And that was now 2017.
Wow.
2018, maybe. So, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, that was my last experience with the demonic. And whatever anyone else wants to scientifically try to explain, I know what it was. And I want no experience of that hell again. And so I have maintained a lifestyle of fasting and mortification. I don't think everyone has to do that, but I do think that we have interactions with the spiritual realm that we don't know of. And when we are lukewarm in our faith, as I maybe oftentimes was, when we walk in what we think might be minor sin, we encounter those things, and it can lead to something so much deeper. And so I just always have believed that these physical things are manifestations of spiritual realities. And so I worked it out with fear and trembling. And, you know, I had started that in Saskatchewan back then, and had started in my first year of retirement a company called Become Ironwield.
Yeah, I was going to say, please go ahead and transition into that, because it's a nice segue. And for the audience, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the website for it. But John, go ahead, share with us what Iron Will is.
Yes. So, you know, it had been coined to me on a couple occasions when I was playing. And the last thing I ever wanted was that to be coined to me. Iron Will is about that final perseverance. It is his will and not my will. It is having the relentlessness to carry your cross daily. It is all those things. And ultimately, that all-encompassing word I use for the pursuit of virtue. We all have vice, whether we want to admit it or not. We got vice. And what helps us combat those vices are the virtues. And so all I knew is my world is the pursuit of greatness, using my body to glorify God in my body. JP2 talked about how the body, and male and female, right? But the body alone is created in the image and likeness of God. How it is, our body is not something we possess. It is who we are. Mm-hmm. And it is the greatest gift that God has given us. And all we can do, just like a child, when my child draws a picture and gives it to me, that's great and I'm thankful, but I gave him the paper, I gave him the pen, and I taught him how to draw. He's returning the gift. That is all we have as people, is we can return the gift to God, to glorify him in our body, in our works, in our love, in our charity, and those kind of things. So do you have to exercise? I don't know. But I know that through exercise, I can prepare myself. It's not because I have the energy. It's a discipline that I do to prepare my body for the works that he's given me to do, to be a good husband, to be a good father, to do the works of mercy. And so I started to become Iron Will, which is a pursuit of fitness, body, mind, and spirit, right? Fit for the kingdom of God. And how we can prepare and glorify God in our body by building up our temple. We do something called active prayer, right? When I read in scripture, pray without ceasing. What crosses my mind is not someone who's on their knees 24/7 praying, hoping it gets done. Is yes, that's part of it. God does it all, but he does it through you and I, and he does it through our works. And this is why he calls us to be good stewards, right? Not to bury our talent, but to multiply it twofold and fivefold. And through exercise is how I can prepare myself to return that gift at a greater extent, to give me the energy, to give me the look, the icon. I don't ever get to have this, always get to have this kind of conversation with somebody. The first gospel message I get to preach is what somebody sees when I walk by.
Wow. Wow. That's
and the
right.
Works that I do.
That's right. So the work that you're doing through Iron Will, is this one-on-one in person in Jacksonville? Is it one-on-one virtually? Is it group meetings online? What? How exactly are you functioning in Iron Will as it relates to the people that you're serving?
Yes, it is all of those. Okay. You know, I do work with some women hand on hand, but I have created an intensive men's Catholic program. You know, everything's niche down these days. Everyone's welcome. I've worked with all kinds of people, all faith backgrounds. But ultimately, I believe that there is a fullness of the truth. And what I know, who I am, is a Catholic man. And so, yes, I do have an online platform for Become Iron Willed, and it is that relentless pursuit to be purposely Catholic and intentionally virtuous. And it is that working it out with fear and trembling. And
awesome.
So, yeah, there's exercise as one means in there, but there's also several of the disciplines, studies that we do to create a lifestyle that is, you know, having this impenetrable mindset.
Okay. Okay.
The creed is my favorite go-to. You know, we profess this creed as Catholics for 2,000 years, and we believe it, but we don't profess it because we've mastered it yet. Otherwise, we'd all be saints in heaven. But the Church, in her wisdom, uses the creed, uses things like incense, baptism oils, candles, stained glass, as constant reminders of who we are and where we're going. Well, as a Catholic man, if I'm not relentlessly on purpose with my environment, my space, sacred space, the things that instigate my thinking, which instigate my actions, then we have a tendency, and this, the why I came to this is seeing the patterns of redundancy in all men, but it's even Catholics in the world around us. Is we're told to keep Jesus Christ in a box 1 hour a week on Sundays, and then we go into the rest of the world, and we're divided because we don't invite the Spirit into those, into my work, into my relationships, into my leisure, etc. And so it is that intentionality of being Christ-centered in our pursuits.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And audience, as I said, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to John's website for Iron Will. We by all means have to close by sharing with the audience about the enormous family that you have there in Jacksonville.
Yes, yes. I have been very blessed. My wife is a saint, and she's also, I think, born to have some children, because we are pregnant right now with number 10. Our youngest at the moment is 3 years old, so this is our biggest gap. I think we might have thought we were done, but we've always practiced our Catholic faith, and that is also by being fruitful all the time. So we do. We've got just a holy family. I got five boys, the fifth girl on the way here. And you never know what the Lord has in store and in plan, but it's been a very wonderful pregnancy. She's got 2 months left, and we just got some more pictures yesterday. And beautiful little girl, and just blessed. And it's not easy, and it wasn't easy for a transient lifestyle in football. But God didn't create us for comfort. He didn't create us for ease. He created us to glorify Him, and I have been thankful that we went broke. We spent more money moving the family all over two countries, pursuing a career that God blessed us to be able to do, and I would just not erase one experience they've had.
Beautiful.
And so, very blessed, yes.
So the nine children that you have now, you say the youngest is 3 and the oldest is how old?
15.
15. Okay.
Yeah. He'll be 16 same month. Yeah. So here shortly.
And audience, let's obviously please pray for John's wife for baby number 10 that's on the way. It sounds like in April, John, is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yes, please. And thank you.
Okay. Well, let's keep John and his wife and all of their kids in our prayers, as well as number 10 that's on the way. But John, I really want to thank you for coming on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you, and prayers for Iron Will. Thank you for the work that you're doing for the kingdom, and I really appreciate you being a guest here on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you so much, and I will give the same thanks and praise to you for what you're doing. So keep on keeping on.
You got it. You got it. And folks, let's close with a player prayer. a nod, obviously, to John's long football career. We'll do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well, but fairly. Let competition make me strong, but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.